الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم ألا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In Ramadan, we heard that one way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for the forgiveness of people in this month is the chaining of shayateen. And what does this act of chaining of shayateen in Ramadan mean for us? In Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala helps us to train ourselves so that we can protect ourselves against shaitan. Similarly, if you look at the days of Hajj, you throw stones on shaitan, rami, stoning of shaitan. So we also need to stone him in our hearts. So shaitan, he is unseen, he's part of our iman bil ghaib. He is also unheard, undiscussed. That's why it's important for us that we should also reflect on who is shaitan. How did he become shaitan? What is our relationship with the shaitan? And how can we protect ourselves from shaitan after the month of Ramadan? And why? Because Allah Ta'ala has declared in the Quran that haven't I taken an oath from all of you, Ya Bani Adam, Allah ta'budu shaitan. This is a very famous ayah of Surah Yasin, that you will not worship shaitan. Why? Innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. Because he for you is your manifest open enemy, clear enemy. So it's important for us that we protect ourselves from shaitan after this month of Ramadan. The famous story that Allah Ta'ala created Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he gathered all the angels together. He called one jinn called Iblis. And Iblis was called because he was the most abid, the most pious jinn at that time. And that's quite an honor that he was deemed worthy to be present at that time in the presence of Allah Ta'ala. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that usjudu li adama fasajadu, that you should do sajda to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, make sajda. And Allah Ta'ala addressed all the whole assembly, which includes all the jinns, all the angels, and the jinn, the Iblis that was present. So, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. All the angels, they did sajda collectively. But Iblis, he refused to do sajda. أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. That he refused, he became arrogant, and he rejected the command of Allah Ta'ala. He became arrogant on that, insisted that he was justified and right in rejecting that command. وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And due to these two attributes, refusing to follow the command of Allah and feeling justified and righteous in doing so, that same Iblis, who was such a big abid, who reached the company of the Malaika, now is becoming amongst the unbelievers. So if Iblis, who spent thousands and thousands of years in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he thinks that he is above even one command or ruling of Allah ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will switch him from a humble worshipper to an arrogant, what you call devil. And that's the lesson for us, that we are people who don't even have those thousands and thousands of years of ibadah, and we are not anywhere even near being in the presence of Allah. So this is the bigger lesson, that what is going to happen to us when we choose to reject a command of Allah and when we feel justified and righteous in doing so. That we don't feel sad. And the interesting definition of takabbur is that when a person doesn't feel sad about it. If we leave a commandment of Allah and we have sadness, then that's something totally different. But what Shaitan had was that he left a command and he didn't even feel any remorse, regret or sadness. And that's what Allah Ta'ala is teaching us in the Quran, that we should not follow the pattern, the path of Shaitan. And then he said, Allah Ta'ala asked him that, what is preventing you from doing sajda? So he said that, Ana khayrun min, that I am better than him. That you have created me from fire, khalaqtani min narin wa khalaqtahu min teen. So you have created me from fire, which is like a wild substance, and you controlled him from earth. Earth is humble, soft substance. So Shaitan, he had this arrogance. And in response to Shaitan's takabbur and logic and reason, Allah Ta'ala said, فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. That get out of it, get out of here, you have been expelled. You should leave my presence. You are amongst the rejected ones, among the repudiated ones. So this takabbur of Shaitan, this hasad of Shaitan, this led to another thing, which is anger. He became angry at Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And out of that anger, he made an intention that I'm going to lead this person astray, and I'm going to lead this entire race of humanity astray. So Shaitan then responds in the Quran and says that I'm going to lead everyone astray. That you will not find وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْسَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. You will not find majority of these insan that you have created. They are going to be Bani Adam, the progeny of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. You will find that majority of them will not be amongst the Shakirin, will not be grateful to Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala's response was, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, that those who are my servants, inna ibadi laysa laka alayhim sultan. This is a beautiful ayah. That those who are my servants, you will not have any power over them. Means that, it does not mean that good people cannot sin. Good people can sin. But that Shaitan cannot make good people do a sin that they will not be forgiven for. It will not be an unforgivable sin. The doors of Tawbah will always be open. So Shaitan, since he got kicked out, he wanted to get Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam kicked out also. So we should know who our enemy is. And this is the ayah that I recited at the beginning. Innahu lakum aduun mubin. That he is your open, manifest, clear enemy. View him as an enemy. Take him as an enemy. Because Shaitan is making a dawah in the Quran that I'm going to lead majority of humanity astray. And then he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for permission, that give me permission, give me some life, some muhlat. He did not ask for forgiveness. Instead, he said that you have expelled me from your palace, from your assembly, but grant me my dua. So the ulama, they point out here that Shaitan, he had marifat of Allah ta'ala. He knew Allah ta'ala. He knew that Shaitan knew that Allah ta'ala has a sifat of rahmat and anger. And both exist simultaneously. They're not present at separate times. So even when Allah Ta'ala is angry, Allah Ta'ala is still Rahim. And he made dua, that Rabbi fa'anzirni ila yawmi yub'asun. Grant me muhlat till Qiyamat. And Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua. Qala fa'innaka minal munzari. Said, no problem. You are among those people who have been given respite, a stay until that day. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give muhlat, can give respite to shaitan in such a state of ghazab and anger, then the question and the lesson for us is that, oh people of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you ask for muhlat in times of happiness, why won't Allah ta'ala give you muhlat? If you ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy when Allah is happy with you, why won't Allah ta'ala give you his mercy? Then if you look, Allah ta'ala also gave certain powers to shaitan. Shaitan says that I need some powers to do this. Give me some ability. Now this comes in a hadith that shaitan, he asked Allah ta'ala that give me some kuwa. Allah said, okay, I will take away your need for food, drink and sleep. Number one, right? You will be awake 24 hours. No need for you to sleep. No need for you to eat. No need for you to drink. No need for you to fulfill anything in nature. You can use 24 hours a day to lead Bani Adam astray. Number two, I will let you live to the end of time. As long as this world is around, until the very end, Yawmul Qiyamah, I will give you that muhlat. Number three, I will make you invisible. Subhanallah. It's like your comic super villain, right? I'll make you invisible. They won't even be able to see you. And number four, I will give you aulad. Just like Bani Adam will have aulad, children, in the same way, Bani Shaitan, they will also be small shayateen. And they will all help you, minion shayateen, they will help you, assist you in this project of leading Bani Adam astray. And then I will also give you the power of waswasa. You will be invisible. You will be able to do waswasa. You will be able to put these whispers and insinuate and plant these thoughts and desires of sin into the heart and minds of Bani Adam. So then Allah Ta'ala went one step further and Allah Ta'ala, he did two things. He declared his enmity for shaitan. And he taught us in Quran that shaitan is also an enemy for you. So, innahu lakum aduwwum mubin. Inna shaitana lakum aduwwa. Elsewhere it comes, inna shaitana lakum aduwwa. Shaitan is to you a clear enemy. Then know that shaitan is a clear, open, diehard enemy for you. That's what mubin means, diehard enemy. And then Allah Ta'ala taught us, fattakhizuhu aduwwa. So take him as an enemy. You should take him as an enemy. We should feel enmity towards shaitan. But that's something many of us, we don't have it. We don't feel that enmity towards shaitan. We don't do amal on this verse of the Quran. We should feel enmity. We should feel enmity, hatred, ghussa towards shaitan. Why? Because number one, shaitan disobeyed Allah Ta'ala. That is why he is our enemy. Allah Ta'ala is trying to train us in the Quran that you should love for the sake of Allah. And you should have enmity only and only for the sake of Allah. So hate him for that. And number two, because he is your sworn enemy. He also hates you. He has enmity towards you. If you try to be lax and you try to take him as a friend, or you view him as neutral towards you, you don't feel that enmity. Therefore, you become neutral. You will be more susceptible to his waswasas, to his whisperings. So, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. You should take shaitan as your enemy. Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, he says, shaitan is that enemy that cannot be bribed or talked out of being our enemy. Rishwat kabul nahi karta. And shaitan has these two weapons, hasad and hirs. These are the foundation of many diseases of the heart. These are the two most often used weapons of shaitan. Hasad, envy. Hasad got shaitan out of Jannat. And hirs. Now, how does shaitan operate? So there are six things that shaitan does. Number one, shaitan will try to stop a person from doing good deeds. That's the first thing. You want to pray, he will stop you from praying. You want to do zikr, he will stop you from zikr. You want to read Quran, he will stop you from Quran. He will put waswasas into our heart so that we are not able to do those good deeds. He stops us. Number two, if you have an irada that no, I have to do this good deed, I have to pray, or I have to read Quran, or I have to make dua. Second trick of shaitan, he will delay good deeds. We'll try his level best so that we end up delaying that good deed. We don't do it at the proper time. And so many times it happens that we have irada of some good deed, but we don't do it at that time. We keep on delaying, delaying, delaying. Eventually, we don't do it at all. That's coming from shaitan. Number three, that if we intend to do it and we don't even delay it, we do it at that time, then shaitan will make us do it in a very hurried manner. He will try to rush us up in that ibadah. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith that there are certain things where you should hurry, you should do, you should race towards them. But other things, if you hurry, then that hurry is coming from shaitan. So those things where a person can hurry, so for example, do your farz, to bury a dead quickly, to host a guest who has arrived quickly. If one person makes a guna, then you make toba quickly. If there is a person of marriageable age, then that person ideally should be married very quickly. So these things are actions, good deeds, where a person should do them quickly, race towards them. But otherwise, the rest of the hurry, that comes from shaitan. And then one more thing shaitan does is that, let's say you do some act and you're able to do it calmly, peacefully, without any hurry. Then shaitan adds that ostentation, that riya, into that act. Ujub. That you begin to think of yourself as someone, as higher than the other person. That I'm a very pious person, I'm a very muttaki person, I'm a very haji, I'm a namazi, I'm a rozedar, this, that, or the other. He adds a riya in that act. And then finally, he also makes us desire that worldly fame for that act. We want other people to know about our good deeds. We want to be known, to be recognized, to become famous, to become popular, to become like a celebrity for the nek ibadah that we are doing. So that's all of these things are actions of shaitan. Now understand something about shaitan. Shaitan only has been given the ability to put a waswasa. He can only trigger a person with these things. The rest is done by our own nafs. So we should not be triggered at petty things. We should not flare up instantly on every small thing. Shaitan tries to play with us. Sometimes a question people ask that, okay, if shaitan and nafs, both of them are our enemies, how do we know whether this waswasa is coming from shaitan or whether this is coming from our nafs? How to tell if this thought is coming from shaitan or our nafs? So some bad thoughts in mind will come from shaitan and some will come from nafs. How do you know, how do we know which is coming from where? So I'll give you a very simple principle. If there is a waswasa that comes of sin, some bad deed, and you reject it, you ignore it, and then another bad sin, another waswasa comes of some other bad action, and then you reject it, and some third bad action comes to your mind, and then you reject that also, know that these different bad actions, bad thoughts, are coming to your mind from shaitan. Because shaitan does not care which bad deed you do, or which bad act do you act on, which bad thought do you act on. Shaitan just wants you to commit sin, any sin, every sin, whatever the nature of that sin. So if you keep ignoring and newer thoughts, bad thoughts come to your mind, you should know that these thoughts, these waswasa are coming from shaitan. And on the other hand, if there's a bad thought that comes to your mind, and you ignore it, but it comes back again. And you ignore it, but it comes back again. Keeps coming back. It's persistent. It's consistent. Then that bad thought or waswasa is coming from your nafs. Because nafs wants to just do that one particular act. It's like a the example is like a baby. Nafs is like a baby. A baby, when he wants something or she wants something, she just wants that particular thing. You give her something else, well, it doesn't want it. He wants the exact same thing. That's the example of our nafs, that the nafs wants to do the exact same sin. So in this way, we can also have a self-test now, litmus test, that we can differentiate which waswasa is coming from nafs and which waswasa is coming from shaitan. Achha, if shaitan is that bad, sometimes people, and especially students that have this question, they may have this question, that why does shaitan exist in the first place? Why not just snuff him out of existence? If he is the enemy of Allah, if he is our enemy, why does he exist? So there is actually a benefit in the existence of shaitan. This might sound a bit strange. The first benefit is that it gives mu'mineen an excuse to ask for forgiveness. Why does shaitan exist? You can ask that. Wouldn't be life so much easier if there was no shaitan? Right? You feel like in Ramadan, you can have the whole Ramadan throughout the year. And I think most of us, 2 or 3 fasts and a few tarawis, and you can already feel that your day has gone much smoother in terms of your deen and staying away from sin as compared to the past 30 days or the past 300 days. There is a reason, there's a hidden mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the existence of shaitan. And actually, the existence of shaitan is itself a manifestation of Ar-Rahman, of Allah ta'ala, of Al-Ghufran, that being who loves to forgive. It's a manifestation of Allah's Rahmah. And the best way we can explain this to you is that imagine that there is a mother and she has a son and the son goes astray. Son leaves the path of Allah. The son starts to engage in sin. The son, he starts performing badly in his studies. Then the mother, she sees that it happened because he had a friend who spoiled him. So what will the mother do? Obviously, the son is not completely innocent. He's also still guilty. He allowed himself to be spoiled. But the mother is not going to look at that. The mother is going to blame that bad friend who spoiled her son. And just like that, if you see in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala does the same thing. فَأَزَلَّهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ But shaitan caused them to slip. فَأَنْسَاهُ الشَّيْطَانُ Shaitan made him forget. Shaitan led them astray. Shaitan made them forget, putting the blame on shaitan. Whereas many times it's the blame of insan. So by putting the blame on shaitan and then allowing the human being to turn towards him in maghfirah, Allah Ta'ala has created an excuse for sending his mercy on humanity. For it's as if there was no shaitan. If there was no shaitan, then everything that we do would have been due to our nafs. Then we would have a much, much more difficult time trying to make Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. Because then we will be 100% guilty. We were doing this to ourselves the whole time. So the first benefit of having shaitan is that you can blame everything on shaitan. It gives mu'mineen an excuse to ask forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah was shaitan. And the second benefit is, if there was no one to incite Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, how could good be rewarded then? If there was no one to incite someone to bad, then how could good be rewarded? So when Bani Adam, they do not listen to shaitan, they can be rewarded with Jannat. And it is because of shaitan and the creation of shaitan that we will know the ajr of a good deeds. Allah Ta'ala wanted to contrast the good from the bad and to give us a reward on the good. So even if you can take this outlook, that the existence of shaitan has a benefit. And the benefit is that it itself is a hidden mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The mercy of Ar-Rahman, of Al-Ghufran. So the existence of shaitan also has a hidden mercy for all of us. So you see that it's the principle of this dunya also, that whenever you have a friend, you will help that friend in their time of need. Whenever you have a friend who's being attacked, you will help that friend in order to defend himself against his enemy. Like Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, one of his fellow Bani Israel was being attacked by one of the people of Fir'aun. So Musa alayhi salam came to his defense. One knockout punch. He came to the help and assistance of someone, helped to defend him against his enemy. So in this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala comes to the assistance of the believers, of the mu'mini, and helps them to defend themselves against this enemy by, number one, chaining the shaitan. And then Allah Ta'ala, the battle that we have, this is a strike contrast to the Christian concept where they put shaitan versus Allah. It's not that. Who can come against Allah Ta'ala? That's a very naqis, deficient concept of the divine, that you can think that shaitan can come against Allah. The Islamic concept is actually insan versus shaitan. That's Bani Adam versus shaitan. That's the battle. That's the battle between good and evil. That's the battle between haq and batil. It's not between Allah and shaitan. Who can even dare to think of battling Allah Ta'ala? The battle is between human beings on one side and shaitan on the other side. It's between the Bani Adam and the Bani shaitan. That is the battle. Now finally, how can a person protect themselves from shaitan? So I'll mention a few practical ways. Number one, the first way to seek refuge from shaitan is simply to recite A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, what you call a ta'awuz. And if you look here, Allah Ta'ala has used A'udhu Billah, that I seek refuge with Allah. Allah has used his own personal name. There is no Ar-Rahman, there is no Ar-Rahmi, Ar-Rahim. Like you have in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, we don't have the Rahman and the Rahim in A'udhu Billah. You just have the name Allah. Why? Because there is now personal animosity here. Shaitan is the personal enemy of Allah and the personal enemy of human beings. So when the animosity and the hatred is personal, Allah Ta'ala says that when this shaitan comes to you, I'm going to give you my personal mobile number. This is my direct line. This is my personal number. So in the ta'awuz, we see A'udhu Billah. Allah Ta'ala teaching us that seek refuge with this name, my personal name. My Isme Azam, Isme Jalala, Allah. A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. So Allah Ta'ala is not using any sifati name. So whenever you want to take refuge in me, call upon me to protect you from shaitan, just dial this direct, my personal number, use my zati name Allah. And this is a gift that Allah Ta'ala has given to this ummah, this gift of this name Allah. This is why we are Ummat-e-Mustafa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No other ummah was given this Isme-Azam, Isme-Zad, Isme-Jalala, Allah. The power of this name, this has been given to this ummah. Why? So Allah Ta'ala gave us this zati name so that you can use this zati name, personal name, and you can seek refuge against shaitan. It's like a small child, right? The mother, she won't give a stick to that child that go fight people. Mother, she will say that if someone messes with you, just let me know. I will take care. Exactly, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Then when shaitan tries to mess with you, just let me know. I will take care of shaitan. A'uzu billah. Then second way to seek protection against shaitan is to say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whoever recites this, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, then shaitan runs away. So we should say this whenever a waswasa enters into our mind. Don't dwell over that waswasa. Just say la hawla wa la quwwata, or read a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, and just move on. Just reject it. And the third and final way in which we can protect ourselves against shaitan is by remembering Allah Ta'ala. And I'll give you an example that as soon as a person is caught, he is asked to put his hands up so that if he has any defensive tactics, some weapon, he'll not be able to use it. So the first thing after catching a person is that you disarm that person. Similarly, when shaitan overcomes a person, the first thing he does is that he makes insan forget the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Istahwaza alayhimu shaitanu, that when shaitan overcomes them, fa'ansahum zikr Allah. He makes them forget the zikr of Allah. Before making a person ignorant of namaz and fasting, he will make a person ignorant of zikr, of the remembrance of Allah. So first zikr is mentioned, then namaz. Lack of zikr will lead towards ignorance from namaz. Which means then that zikr is the first line of defense against shaitan. If shaitan breaches this line of defense, then shaitan gets to the second defense line and attacks your namaz, your salah. So we have to do zikr. And that's what Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, that inna allazeena taqaw, that for those who fear Allah, iza massahum ta'ifum minash shaitan, that when some insinuation, some impulse, some thought touches them from shaitan, what do they do? How do they respond? Tazakkaru. They remember Allah. They remember Allah. And then lastly, like we mentioned, that Allah Ta'ala treats shaitan as his enemy. And how does Allah Ta'ala treat mu'mineen? Allah says, Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. That Allah is the friend of those people who have iman. Allah sends his enmity on shaitan, and Allah sends his friendship, his wilaya on the mu'mineen. That is how Allah Ta'ala is helping the Bani Adam. That, O insan, if you take iman, just iman, then you will get my wilayat. Allahu waliyyul ladhina amanu. Maybe this would be another ayah we will do later. It means that Allah Ta'ala is the protecting friend, the benefactor, the nurturing, the loving friend of the people of iman. And due to this wilayat of Allah, then we are also protected from shaitan. In one hadith, it comes that Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, she asked the Prophet sallam, that every person has shaitan. And the Prophet sallam said that yes, with every person there is shaitan. And then she asked that even you have a shaitan. And the Prophet sallam said yes, that there is also a shaitan with me, but my shaitan has accepted Islam. So that could be a beautiful dua we can also make to Allah Ta'ala, that, O Allah, make our shaitan also accept Islam. So our intention by the end of this month, our view, our dua to Allah should be that, Allah, we want to become shaitan proof. You have bulletproof, huh? You have waterproof, 50 meter watch. What we need all of us to have is a lifetime that is a shaitan-proof heart, a shaitan-proof life. And that is what this month is all about. And if you think like that, and we make this intention, it's just an intention. We don't even know what it means to be an enemy of shaitan. We don't even know how we're supposed to take him as an enemy. It's just a feeling in the heart. That Allah, just because he disobeyed you, I feel enmity towards him. Because he wants to keep me away from you, I feel enmity towards him. That's the nature of every lover with their beloved. Every lover will attack anything that comes between them and their beloved. Any lover will declare enmity with anything that comes between him and his beloved. So we should just view shaitan like that. That he has sworn so many thousands and thousands of years ago that he wants to come between me and my Allah. And because in this month we want to love Allah, so we should have enmity towards shaitan. So it comes in a hadith that when shaitan gave so, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave so many things to shaitan, made him invisible, etc., etc. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he said that, Ya Allah, is there anything for my progeny, for my people, for my descendants? He asked Allah ta'ala that what hope is left for my Bani Adam, for my progeny? So Allah ta'ala said that on this side, I will give you one thing. On that side, so many things shaitan has. But on your side, I will give you one thing. And then Allah ta'ala said that when any of the Bani Adam, any of the insan, at any point of their life, at any point of their life until they die, if even for a single moment they turn to me in their heart in Tawbah and they ask for my mercy, I will send my mercy and I will forgive them, all of them, for all of their years and years of sin. I will forgive them for their whole lifetime of sin. Ab shaitan bhi hairan hai. Shaitan is also amazed ki saalon ki mehnat meri ek lamhe ke andar zaya. That I worked so hard and now in one moment everything will be wasted away. Allah Ta'ala has given that power to insan. That all they have to do is to turn to me in sincere tawbah, ask me for my forgiveness, and I will wipe away their entire lifetime of sin. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be able to become people of Tawbah in this month. May Allah Ta'ala protect and preserve all of us from the wasawis of shaitan in this month and even outside of this month. May Allah Ta'ala make us people who can save ourselves from shaitan. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان رب العالمين وحب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم ہم اب کے عاجز مسکین سے بنتے ہیں اللہ ظاہر میں بنتے ہیں لیکن حقیقت میں بہت گندے ہیں یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اللہ ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ میں یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما جو گناہ کر کے بھول گیا ان کو معاف فرما یا رب کریم ہم خود گناہ نہیں کرنا چاہتے لیکن یا اللہ شیطان ہمارے ساتھ لگا ہوا ہے ہمارا نفس برا امارہ ہو چکا ہے یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمارے نفس کو نفس مطمئنہ بنا دیجئے اللہ شیطان سے ہمارا پیچھا ہمیشہ کے لیے چھڑا دیجئے یا رب کریم آپ نے قرآن میں فرمایا کہ کچھ ایسے بھی بندے ہیں آپ کے کہ جن کا شیطان کچھ نہیں بگاڑ سکتا یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمیں بھی ان بندوں میں شامل فرما لیجئے کہ یا اللہ شیطان ہمارا کچھ نہ بگاڑ سکے یا رب کریم سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ کے بارے میں نبی علیہ السلام نے فرمایا کہ عمر جو راستہ لیتا ہے شیطان دوسرے راستے پہ چلا جاتا ہے اس راستے کو چھوڑ دیتا ہے یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمیں بھی ایسا ایمان عطا فرما دیجئے اللہ ہمیں بھی ایسا تقوی والی زندگی نصیب فرما دیجئے اللہ وہ فاروقی خون عطا فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام اور صحابہ اکرام کے نقش قدم پہ چلنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما یا رب کریم جو گناہ کیے ہیں اللہ سب کو معاف فرما یا اللہ رمضان المبارک کا مہینہ ہے اللہ عشرہ رحمت کا عشرہ ہے یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے تمام گناہوں کو نیکیوں سے بدل دیجئے یا رب کریم جو گناہ میں یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما جو ارادے سے کیے ان کو معاف فرما جو بنا ارادے کے کیا اللہ ان کو بھی معاف فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم نفس و شیطان کے قریب جانے سے بھی ہماری حفاظت فرما نفس و شیطان کے دھوکوں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما یا رب کریم علم ملنے کے بعد جہالت کے کاموں سے ہماری حفاظت فرما ہدایت کے بعد گمراہی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اللہ قرب کے بعد اپنی دوری سے ہماری حفاظت فرما या रब करीम, हमारी तमाम दुआओं को, नेक मुरादों को अपनी रहमत से पूरा फरमा। रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नक अंत समीउल अलीम, व तुब अलैना इन्नक अंत तवाबुर रहीम। वसल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही खैर खल्किही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व सहबिही अजमाइन, बिरहमतिका या अरहमर रहीम।